Read verse 22, the verse that we will be considering this evening is after coming from a week of prayer and fasting. Psalm 55, and I'll simply read verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, what a great joy and a privilege it is for your children and for all of us to come in your house. Our Father, we come with cares, come with concerns, come with burdens, and we ask, O God, that you be pleased to lift those burdens. Even as you led us through the worship of you through songs, our spirits were lifted up through those songs that reminds us of the certainty and the assurance of our faith, that a day is coming when we will see the face of God and we will never, never sin. Oh, cause us that while we await that time, that our songs may abound. Oh God, we are grateful for the refuge we have in you. And all this is because of Christ. And so again we ask that as we come this afternoon, be pleased to speak to us, O God. Remind us from your word of the promise that you've given unto us. Hear this our cry, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As a church, we are coming from a week of prayer and fasting. And like I did last Sunday evening to remind us of prayer, this afternoon also I would like to remind us of the promise that we have from God's word or in God's word. The promise that God gives us from His word, and this promise must be fuel for us even to go before this very God and plead with Him in prayer, or to go before this God and commune with Him in prayer. The answers to our prayers and the communion we experience with God in prayer serves as fuel or as a stimulus to deepen a stronger prayer life in Christians. Prayer must have first priority in our lives, or at least it must have the equal importance in our lives as the Word. But despite believers knowing the importance of prayer, experience seems to agree that a large number of professing Christians spend little time in persistent prayer. Christians fail to utilize, as it were, the promise that God gives in His word. And God has promised that He will listen to us. He will hear us when we pray. But many Christians, the importance they attach to prayer gives the indication as if prayer is treated as a spare wheel that we simply pull when we're in trouble. But prayer must be the steering wheel that directs our path in life. And if you want to know the importance that you've attached to prayer, just look at the last 1 week and see how many times you engaged in prayer. Subtract those prayers offered during meals. And then just be sincere with yourself and see how much time you attach to prayer. Oswald Chambers wrote, and I quote, "We tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. When we pray, it's because there's nothing else we can do. But God wants us to pray before we do anything." End of quote. Now, the psalm that I've read to you contains a promise from God. And the promise before us is one that is familiar with most of us, if not all of us, and one that has become the beloved of many believers. It is a promise that comes at the end of the psalm, Psalm 55. A psalm in which gives us the picture of what David was going through. It gives us this distress that David could have been going through. There must have been some personal crisis in his life. And whatever the crisis is, it's not clear. Some think it was a deep emotional stress he felt during the time when his son Absalom wanted to grab the kingdom from him. But whatever the nature of the crisis is or was, we see God compelled David to pen down these words that are recorded in verse 22 of Psalm 55. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." And those words have brought so much hope in lives of many, to know that there's this promise that God gives us to bring before him all that is troubling us. And the Lord gives us his word and his promise. So let us meditate on that verse and apply the lessons from it to our hearts this afternoon. The first thing we notice is that burdens are a reality of life on earth. Burdens are a reality of life on earth. And this is implied in the first part of that verse. "Cast your burden on the Lord." Now that verse shows us the fundamental reality of life on earth, whether Christians or non-Christian. Life on earth is full of burdens. They are a reality. Every child of God knows what it is to be burdened in one way or the other. And notice the way the psalmist puts it. The language of the passage is not suggesting that there's a possibility that burdens may come. The psalmist is not saying if burden comes, or whenever burden comes, or when burden comes. But the language of the psalm gives us that indication that burdens are the reality. He's saying, "Cast your burden on the Lord." And this language is a language of certainty of the reality of life on earth, that this will happen. It's just a matter of time. It will happen. Some burden will come one way or the other. But what is a burden? What does the psalmist mean when he says, cast your burden on the Lord? Now, the word that is used in Psalm 55 and verse 22 for burden, it's a word that is very broad in its meaning. It can mean your appointed lot. It can mean your situation. It can mean your anguish, cares, or grief. So, the word burden can mean any of those. And so to add what it can mean, we can say a burden is something that loads you down and causes you to be distressed and feel that you are at the end of your resources. It is something that weighs heavily on you. And as it weighs heavily on you, it causes you to be distressed. And it pushes you in the corner and makes you feel that you've come to the end of your resources. There's nothing that you can do. It presses heavily upon your shoulders or upon your life. And this is what the psalmist is saying. That those are the things that you must cast on God. Whatever it is, whatever it might be, as long as it's loading on you and making you feel distressed, that is a burden. Now, there are those burdens that we bring upon ourselves because of our actions. For instance, if a person commits murder, they'll be locked in a prison for life. And that's a burden they must carry on their shoulders. Or if you get into debt, you must pay back. Those are the burdens you bring upon your life. And those are the kind of things that the Lord will not sort of help come through for you and help you, but rather you have to face the consequences of your actions yourself. There may be burdens upon you, but those are the things that you must deal with. Having brought them upon your shoulders yourself. But also there are burdens that are brought about in our lives because of the actions of others. People's choices that affect the lives of others. Or the misconduct of individuals, sinful actions of individuals. And because of that, many others in the process are being affected. But also, if we get the definition of the word, that the burden can also mean your lot in life, the indication there then is that there are things that the Lord will allow us to go through which would work for our good. Although in that moment we may not see why God has allowed us, has allowed this to be our lot in life. But whatever that might be, it is a burden. And it forms part of the reality of your life. And we see that burdens are a part of life on earth. Cast your burdens on the Lord. And so as we live in this sinful world, these burdens bring us to the realization of how unwarranted life on earth is. And these burdens that we go through shows us that while certain things may happen in our lives that we have no control, or we don't even know why we're going through such things, there is a God who's in control of all things and is allowed these things to happen in your life or to come upon you, so that as God allows his burdens upon your life, he's slowly and continuously maturing you to become more and more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, when we're going through burdens, or when we have burdens, the only thing that we want is that God removes it. But that's not always the case, as we'll be seeing. God uses those moments in our lives to cause us to become more and more like his son. But he also uses those moments in our lives to cause us to learn to lean upon his grace, to lean upon him, and to continuously depend on this God. Burdens to Christians are an indispensable element in achieving God's purpose. Burdens to Christians are an indispensable element in achieving God's purpose. So that's the first thing we see there, is the fact that burdens are a reality of life on earth. But secondly, we see that even though this is the reality of life on earth, for Christians, there is this clear condition that God gives us in time of burdens, or when we are thirst with burdens, or when we have burdens. And again, it is in the first part of that verse. Cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. That's the clear condition that God gives. God, who's all wise and all knowing, has included in his plan burdens to be part of the reality of life on earth. And he's also in his plan put this clear condition to his children that you must cast your burdens upon him. Now, David is telling us what to do with our burdens. He's actually saying that as a child of God, as a godly person, give it all to God. Give it all to God. And he's telling us that when you are in that moment, distressed, pressed in, this is what you must do. Don't begin to quickly begin to think of how best can I come of this situation. David is saying, give it all to God. Cast your burden upon God. Throw your burdens upon God. Offload your burdens upon God. And when you read in verse 16 of that psalm, Psalm 55, he's actually telling us what it means to cast your burden on God. He says, but I called to God, and the Lord will save me. And he's saying to cast your burden on God, simply call on God. Go before God. Cry out to God. Pray to this God. Express your distress to this God. And let this God deal with your burdens. Talk to this God. And he's saying, cast your burdens on the Lord. He's actually encouraging us to find time to talk to this God, to find time to express our sincere feelings to this God. He's encouraging us to go before this God, and if it means you cry out and wrestle with this God and express your displeasure with this God, do it. Cast your burdens on the Lord. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12 tells us of the burden he had to bear, what he calls the thorn in the flesh. And he actually tells us there he pleaded with the Lord 3 times that the Lord would remove it. And the Lord did not. But Paul received sustaining grace from God. And Paul tells us God's answer in verse 9 was the fact that God's grace was sufficient for Paul. For my strength is made perfect in my weakness. And here the psalmist David is encouraging us to go before God, to tell God, to talk to God. Anything that is weighing you down, take it before the Lord. And casting our cares before the Lord is a language of prayer. The psalmist is actually saying, go before God in prayer and pray and cry out to this God. It is a similar language that the Apostle Paul uses in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through to verse 7, where he said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. The psalmist is encouraging us to pray to God, trusting our cares with God. And the way God has given us to do so is through prayer. To express ourselves to Him in prayer. Prayer is the trust we have in God. As we turn our needs and focus them in God, we come before Him with this assurance that He will listen to us. And yet the psalmist is not telling us to drown in our burdens, but to go and plead with the Lord. And pray. Prayer, as the hymn writer says, is the soul's sincere desire. That's what prayer is. And this is what we're being encouraged to cast our burdens. And we all have burdens. Do we find time to talk to God? Do we find time to wrestle with God over our burdens or the burdens of others? Cast your burden on the Lord. We have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. One who depended upon his Father. Christ gives us an example of what it means to cast your burdens before God. To spend time praying to God. He would go in the wilderness and pray, we are told in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. And sometimes he will continue in prayer throughout the entire night. Again, you find that in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 18, chapter 18 and verse 1, he encouraged his disciples that with these words, men ought to pray and not lose heart. He was actually saying, You must cast your burden on God. Don't lose heart. Pray. And if it means wrestling with God throughout the entire night, do so. Bring all your burdens before this God. And may God help us to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. To cast our burdens before Him and to show a world that is dying in sin. That while we may go through same situations, same scenarios, same economic hardships, we have hope. And this hope is not vain hope. It is hope rooted in God. And we have this clear command: cast your burdens on the Lord. And in the third place, we see the promise given to the burden bearer. The promise that is given to the one who is casting their burdens on the Lord. There's a promise that the Lord, the Bible gives us. And in the second half of that verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And David, having said these words from verse 1 to verse 21, you see that was expressing these words to God. And now he turns his attention to us. And he's saying, cast your burden upon the Lord and you will find relief. Bring all your burdens before God and the Lord will sustain you and you will not be moved. In verse 22, he comes to his final resting point of this psalm. Having expressed his distress, having expressed his situation, he now comes to this final conclusion. Cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. This is the point of the entire psalm that David wants to bring to us. This is the final resting point of his psalm. And he's saying, when you cast your burden upon the Lord, God will sustain you. God will cause you not to be shaken. Now notice the words of this psalm. The psalmist is not promising that the Lord will remove your burden or carry it for you. The promise speaks of the Lord sustaining you and allowing you not to be moved. Now, there's no doubt if the Lord wants, He can easily remove the burdens off your shoulder by just His word. One word and all your burdens are off your shoulders. But what you see here is that God promises to sustain us while we have these burdens, which are part of life on earth. And in your burdens, you will not be moved. Now, of course, like I said earlier on, when there's something that is loading you, distressing you, when you go before God, your prayer is, Lord, take it away from me. Now! I want it out of my shoulders. Lord, I can't function. That's your desire. And that's a desire of all of us. No one wants to continue feeling distressed and feeling loaded and carrying this heavy burden on their shoulders. But the psalmist here is actually telling us that in fact, the Lord will sustain you in that moment. When you feel like your world is coming to an end, the Lord who is gracious and all wise will sustain you. The psalmist is actually telling us, God will support you. God will strengthen you. God will be by your side. In fact, he will be the one that will be carrying that burden and helping you to cope with it. Because he knows that by him sustaining you, he's maturing you to become like his son. It's like a parent who's teaching his child or teaching the child to ride a bike. Now, when you ride a bike for your child, you're not helping them. But you stand by them. You help them. You support them. They will fall. They will stumble. But you not let them to break their bones. You will be there to hold that bike and cause them to balance until they finally mature and learn how to ride a bike. And in future, they themselves will teach others how to ride a bike. And this is a picture that the psalmist is giving us. That God will grant you sustaining grace. And it is this such sustaining grace that made David to cry out in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's David looks at God's performance in the past. And he knows that God has never forsaken me. He will not begin now. And when I look at his works in the past, I can trust him even now that he will sustain me as I go through this burden. The Lord God who's unchangeable, he is the same God that was with David in those lonely mountains when he was taking care of his father's animals. David knew how God had sustained him through those lonely mountains. And now he's looking at his situation and he's distressed, but he still knows that the Lord will sustain him. When you have burdens, look at what God has done for you in the past. And let that be the bedrock of your trust that the Lord will sustain you. He has been with you. He has helped you. He has strengthened you. What makes you think he will fail in that moment? The Lord will sustain and be with you. But also the psalmist tells us that he will not permit the righteous to be moved. That's a promise that we are given. That the Lord will sustain us, but will not permit the righteous to be moved. Now, the last part of this promise looks like it is a failed promise. There are instances when people who claim to trust the Lord appear to have been moved or shaken by the burdens they bear. But here the Lord is talking about the righteous not being moved in the ultimate sense. He's saying the burdens that the righteous carry will not move them to a point of losing their faith in God. That even though you look shaken, those burdens will not move you to a point where you lose your faith in God. And the Bible is telling us here that he will never permit the righteous to reach that point. Why you say, I don't trust God? This God is not real. He promised you do this and he's failed me and therefore I've lost my salvation. The Bible tells us God will not allow that to happen. His name is at stake. His glory is at stake. He will not permit that to happen. He won't. So even though David was deeply distressed, he knew that he cannot be shaken to a point where he said, there's no God. If God was there, how can I be going through such a thing? How can I have such issues in my life? No. God says he will not permit that to happen. And that was the assurance of David. That this assurance is also ours today. And notice the passive nature of the things mentioned in verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. David, in that case, was passive. He's not the active agent. He's not the one who's making sure that he sustains himself. He's not the one who's making sure that he's not moved. It's all an act of God. It is God's business to sustain you. It is God's business to ensure that you are not moved. And because it's God's business, it will never happen in your life that you reach a point where you lose your faith. It will never happen. You are a passive agent in that work. What God requires of you to be directly involved is to cast your burdens on him. And the rest, he will do it for you. He will. It's there in his word. It's there throughout the scriptures. It is the Lord's business. Your duty and mine is to cast our burdens on God. And our salvation is in Christ. And Christ is the rock. Christ is the rock of our salvation. And in Christ, we are tucked in safe. That while the battle rages, and we can see the battle raging in our lives, we are tucked safe in Christ. It's God's business to tuck you in Christ and to ensure that you remain there, you stay there. What he requires of you is to simply cast your burden on him. This is the promise that God gives us. A promise of refuge. A promise of shelter in the time of storm. A promise of finding security in God. He's not saying he will always remove the burdens from us, but he's saying he will sustain us as we go through those burdens. He will, and you will not be moved. So whatever your burden might be, whatever it is that is distressing you, take it before God, and the Lord will sustain you. And brethren, if God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for our sins, and that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, will be saved. And by his grace, we have been adopted into his family. Surely, those of us who are his children should have a desire to spend time with a God like this. We would desire to close ourselves with this God who loves us so much. And our love for this God will manifest itself in how much time we desire to spend with him. This love for this great God will cause us to run to these promises that he's given us in his words and plead these promises in Christ. If we love this God, our love will drive us to our knees when we see that his agenda is not being fulfilled. When we see that men and women are slowly mocking this God, the God we love. If we don't have personal burdens, at least we can bring corporate burdens, burdens of our brothers and sisters, burdens of others in the world, and cry before this God who's promised to sustain us, that he may sustain our brothers and sisters wherever they might be. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will not permit the righteous to be moved. The reality of life on earth is that it is full of burdens. But are we taking these burdens to God? We're just coming from a week of prayer and fasting. And the average attendance in all our home groups was about 10. So 10 by 10 home groups, that's about 100 people present out of 430 members. Surely, if you don't have personal burdens, at least there are others who have burdens. The elders provided lists of things to pray for and to thank God for. And if we take God's promises seriously in his word, it would have moved us to join with our brothers and sisters wherever they might be, and together we cry out to this God who said, "Cast your burden on me." And our prayer meetings indicate our levels of spirituality and commitment to God. Because it is in those moments when we hear each other's burdens ascending before the throne of grace. And it is in those moments when we get a pen and a pencil, a paper, and jot down the prayer needs, so that when we get into our homes and close ourselves from everyone and go into that place of quiet rest, we are praying for the burdens shared by others. And as we go before God, we can see the face of this brother, this sister. We can hear their voice in anguish as they were sharing their burden. And we join them pleading before God on their behalf. And the Lord will hear our burdens. He will. And carrying each other's burdens before God shows us that we are fulfilling God's commandment to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I can't continue with life as normal when I know my brother, my sister, whom Christ died for, has this burden, but because my life and that moment seem to be okay and I just carry on with life as normal. And then I'm saying, Lord, bless me. I love my neighbors as I love myself. We must learn to carry each other's burdens. And the Lord promises that He will sustain us. The Apostle Paul is one who carried the burdens of others. And when you read his letters, he was able to mention individuals by name, and sometimes even what their situation will be. In Philippians 4, he talks about those two sisters who are not getting along in the Lord. And he says, I plead, help those two. They must have been on his heart. He must have wrestled with God on their behalf. And he wanted to know how they are doing. And he's saying, I'm far away from those two, but at least help them. You hear him mentioning individuals who had been sick, and he said, I've left them in this place. And I hear they're doing much better. He carried those individuals in his heart. When you read 1 Timothy and in the 4th chapter, you see he still carried those individuals who had disappointed him. And I'm sure he must have spent time bringing them before God's presence. And there are those individuals who are his companion, and you thank God for them. Now, this can only happen if we learn to carry each other's burdens, so that our prayer meetings don't just become part of a church activity. Is that when we gather to pray, we are bringing our burdens before God, each other's burdens, and together we cry to God, so that the Lord may sustain us. And as he does so, we are becoming more and more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's growing us in our faith. And together, we are a joyous body of believers, serving the Lord with joy, carrying each other's burdens, and praying for one another. And God assures us that he will answer. The week of prayer and fasting has ended, but it's not the end of praying for one another. Oh, that we may draw courage, strength from this promise, that we may cast our burdens upon the Lord. And the hymn that we'll be singing in closing, the hymn that is well known, but oftentimes that words gets swallowed up or missed in the process. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Maybe some of those burdens we are carrying on our shoulders, we don't need to bear them. We just need to take them before God. And there we will find solace. Amen.